this week's show, we talk about Doctor Who Rosa.
And Keith gets it wrong.
We discuss how boring The Walking Dead gets.
And Keith gets it wrong.
I talk about the fantastic Daredevil.
And Keith gets it wrong.
And now Knight gets it wrong.
I don't know, I was about to say anything else.
I was about to say, and that's what you get for skipping out on recording the intro.
And that's what you get for skipping out on the intro with a lame excuse.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, zombies, daredevils, and people alike. It's this week's Monkey Nut Bunch podcast. Yay! Woo, and with me on all these podcasting journeys is my stalwart, Nigel.
Hello.
Who lovingly will be referred to as the small rouge one this week, as he's growing a fuck-off beard.
Ginger beard.
And our special guest, because he's special.
Fuck off.
For the first
he's never
time
here.
This year.
Has
it's
this
our
not got old?
Marshmallow's butt friend Keith.
Hello, people.
Was that your butt
Seriously,
friend?
I heard what you said. Twat.
Marshmallow ass friend. Okay, the rundown. We will be talking about Doctor Who Rosa. The Walking Dead and Daredevil on Netflix, and then we might have some bits towards the end depending on how well the timing goes. So let's start off with Doctor Who Rosa. I'm going to throw this one over to you, Keith, because you're never short of an opinion, be it right, wrong or indifferent. There you are.
It wasn't what I was expecting it to be in the end. It was far better than I thought it was going to be. It did not feel as politically motivated as it could have done. There were a few mansplaining moments, should we say, in it, where they were sort of... I don't believe that there are that many people that really knew who Rosa Parks was. I say this with respect in the UK because I never got taught about her at school. So I'm surprised how both companions in it knew so much and knew her name like that so well.
I find it weird. The reason I find it weird is that there's another civil rights activist who had a much more interesting life. Her name was Harriet Tubman. She would have made a better character. Harriet Tubman suffered from I think she suffered from narcolepsy. It didn't say that she kept on like falling asleep every so often. So sounds like narcolepsy. She starts off and she's a slave on this plantation. She breaks free. She frees a load of other people. Sends them up towards Canada for some reason. And then at the end of it, she then winds up in her slave owner's house, owning it, with a toy boy. That's just the highlights. And she's and historically, she's a much more interesting character. I'd like to have seen Harriet Tubman, because there's a bit in Harriet Tubman's life where she's on the run from the fucking US government, and she has a toothache. So she takes a shitload of cocaine and smashes one of her teeth out with a rock. That's some, you know, self-dentistry.
Self-mutilation.
Well, it's one of those things. Imagine your tooth is hurting like crazy. You're on the run.
Yeah.
You haven't got time to stop off at a dentist. But going back towards the episode, because I do think Harriet Tubman is a more interesting character, historically wise.
Potentially, but I think it did a good job. It did a good job handling what is a very difficult subject, I think. And it did it without being overly political. As I said, I don't think... realistically, both those companions would have had a clue who Rosa Parks was because they're both from England. They might teach this in American schools and they might know a lot more. She might be more well known in America. I didn't know who she was until this episode.
I had
found
heard
that
of her
bit
before.
I heard the name. But I'd never understood what she did. I didn't know much about her, let's put it that way. I like the sort of brief cameo from Martin Luther King.
Yep.
That was I enjoyed that. That put a smile on my face.
Purely from a purely potentially geeky spot. The guy, the sort of evil racist from the future, was wearing exactly the same time vortex manipulator that Captain Jack wears. Now,
No. That was a Torchwood nod. Try again. There's another person who has a nasty vortex manipulator who's from Stormcage.
No.
Riversong.
Riversong.
If anyone's going to get a vortex manipulator, it's going to be her. She had one of her own.
Do you think they'll bring Riversong back? Well, you know, yeah, that could be an interesting... I don't think they're going to do lesbians in Doctor Who. I just don't.
Not yet.
I've no idea series. Who you're talking about, but... Yeah. No, what you were talking about there, about the a bit of mansplaining about Rosa Parks, I'm watching it with my wife. She's no idea who Rosa Parks is. For that information that they gave about her and why she was doing what she was doing, a bit of context, for her... really helped her understand what happened.
I get that. There was just a couple of moments where it was borderline condescending. So when I say mansplain, I'm using that in the feminist
way.
Say when men are being condescending. There was a touch of that at certain parts in the episode where I think the writing just got lazy. It wasn't very clever. You know, there's ways that you introduce characters into writing, and there were parts in the episode where it got a tad lazy.
It was so important.
It became
saying,
a tad mansplaining rather than being clever. So, yeah, there we go.
He's having to switch his... Right, okay, we're having a few technical issues here. I have no idea what you said, Keith. I imagine it was really interesting.
It was, and my recorder carried on recording it.
Oh, so we'll hear that.
So we have no idea what you said. Okay. So you're going to have to excuse me if I go over it. I felt that the episode towards Americans and only towards Americans could be considered condescending. Yeah, because you're talking about.
Yeah,
a bit
I can
in America,
see that.
Yeah, I felt that was one thing, and it wasn't as heavy-handed as I thought. But there were a few problems. First problem was none of the white people in that time period were shown to be either indifferent or against what it was. And there was pardon, who was there?
Yes, there was. Rosa Parks' husband was white.
Yes, but he never got to speak.
He did. He had a line in it when they were in the house. He did.
Well, this is Martin Luther King.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so it's not
as
really.
I said, that's not him getting to speak. Yeah, that's not him saying I don't agree with this. Yeah.
If I put myself in that sort of situation, back in it was the '50s, sixties, wasn't it, when this happened? Was it 70s? I can't remember.
Yeah.
60s. Right. Yeah.
Well, 53. I thought this was, wasn't it? 53.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
50s. It was 50s.
I think if you're growing up in the era, you know, directly after the World War II, and you've got all that going on around you as a white person, people want to conform to the norm in those situations. So, like the way Bradley Walsh's character was sticking up for his son, Ryan, when people were being a bit of a dick towards it. They started being a dick towards him. So I can see if you're growing up in that environment and you see that happening all the time, you just sort of like, you might shy away from it. So you won't want to get involved in case people around you, the community, start treating you the exact same way as what you don't want others to be treated like. There wasn't a big enough movement, shall I say, from the white people to actually stand up and be opposed to this, where they were just complicit with it.
It's not that. It's just that the BBC's got a mandate to show both sides of the story. They've actually, it's actually part of their license agreement where they have to show both sides.
And they're breaking that all the time at the moment.
Yeah, they're currently breaking that all the
time.
They
didn't really show from another perspective, did they?
And it's not like...
No, they have the...
If you'd have had one of the bus drivers turn around and say, it's the law and I don't like it, that have been fine. But literally all the white characters were villains. Which isn't but good. That... Come on. Police officer, bus driver, restaurant owner.
Yeah, but the police officers were like that in Montgomery. That is true.
No, as I said, you needed just to see someone just slightly disagree with it. Someone.
Do you know
to...
what? I would have accepted.
Why?
In the restaurant, I would have accepted when they started saying that to them to get out and shit. You know, we don't serve. We're not going to serve you, sort of thing. And if somebody in the restaurant who was white looked disgusted at that and decided to get up and leave with
but
them,
that,
I
that
would probably have...
Keith, how do you know?
Because it's well documented.
Right, so there's... No, hang on. There were quite a few people. John Brown went
not,
to town.
Not... Yeah, but that was after Luther King came
to... That wasn't
to...
before. That was Harriet Tubman, that was. Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't say what it was actually like.
The long and the short of it is they just made every white person look like a villain. That was my thing. Yeah, I don't want to see a TV show where they make every black person look like a villain, or every Mexican look like a villain, or every Indian person look like a villain, or every Russian look like a villain. Actually, maybe Russian. Russian. Hang on. 24. Trying to think.
English. English
I'm
villains.
Think 24 terms.
English are villains.
Good Russians in 24. But I don't. I want to see that there is that people come in a mix, because I know people come in a mix. They're not. There people aren't a monoculture. Yeah, one group isn't completely oppressed, and one group isn't completely the victim, and one group completely isn't the oppressor or the victor or whatever you want to call it. It's a mixed bag because that's the way society is. That's my one thing, and then my biggest bugbear. Oh, well, sorry. Hang on. I didn't talk about space racist. Okay. You got the guy at the end. Yeah. And it's just like kind of, we still got racism in like 52nd century or something. Yeah.
Is that where this guy's from?
I don't know. I can't remember what century it's from, but it's the same place where River Song was being kept. That made me, I always found it a bit weird because Babylon 5 is one of my favorite TV shows. And they had it. So the moment we encountered aliens, all the racism crap went away. And we went to proper xenophobia and being scared of actual aliens. Yeah? So they changed it around. They said that existed. Yeah? We put our differences aside to hate people who genuinely look different to us.
What I didn't understand where his motives. They didn't really explain it at all. No. They just said, this is the point where it all changed.
One note.
I don't understand what all changed. I know. I understand what Rosa Parks did and why she did it and why it was a good thing, but I don't understand why that affects him in so far into the future.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
They didn't ever explain that, except for the fact that maybe he was locked up with a guy who was black and he just didn't get on with him and he went, right, well, fuck this. Or
one day he turned around and went, oh, I've had enough of this guy.
Or it was his prison warden was
or something,
dude who treated him shit while he was in prison. And he goes, well, I can go back in time to the point where they're not given equal what. And it never, ever addressed the reason why, unless they do that later on. It didn't track for me. That's
right.
The whole story was built around that. The whole story, and they never explained it.
I think that future story, you're going to have a war with the Stenza, whoever they're called, yeah? They're going to have a black leader, and that black leader's going to cock up. And that's going to be the whole fucking motivation for that guy.
You're right.
So we're going to lose to the Stenza because of that leader. But the doctors are going to go back and fix that, and therefore he won't go back in time and won't cause that trouble in the first place. That's all I can think that is building to a bigger story. Even though he said he wouldn't do it, Russell T. Davies lied about the Daleks and he turning up once.
I think there's enough in the last three episodes to say, hang on a second, they are hinting at something. And it's less subtle than what Russell T. Davies did, really. Except the Rose turning back up again, which was blatantly blatant.
That was proper fan service.
Rosie's coming back off the first episode. How do you know? Because they showed her. Whereas this is less subtle than some of the things. But yeah, I think we've got some running story arcs here. Yeah. It wasn't bad. It's getting better this season.
I wouldn't say that. The first thing that's bugging me about this, yeah, is you're in Montgomery, Alabama, and it seems to be occupied by 12 people, and they all live in that diner or on that bus and nowhere else. It feels really isolated, desolated. It's there's something about it that doesn't seem to be a world outside what they're doing. It's like the motel. They walk towards that motel. There is no one in there, no cars in there. Yeah, they go into that train yard. There's no one there. There's no cars driving past. There's no sense of an outside world. It feels really odd.
I saw what you meant when I watched that first episode again. Now that you mention it, yes, I think you're correct in that.
I don't like it because it doesn't feel. I want to feel that there is a world going on, and it's like it was weird because after we had the podcast last week, I sat Nigel down and went, "You're not fucking leaving yet until I've made my point," and I made him watch clips out of Doctor Who, and he can put his hand up and say, "Yeah, you did," of when I believed that certain characters became the Doctor, and even in those clips, if I have those clips in isolation, you still feel like there's a world that exists. Whatever they're doing, they need to. I'm hoping tonight we'll see people, rather than 16 people, a crowd of people to feel that the outside world exists.
I think this is going to be the first Doctor Who episode that's genuinely going to shit me up since I was a kid. I am going to properly be hiding behind the fucking sofa. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I fucking hate spiders. I am an arachnophobia.
Is it about spiders, this one? It is
about spiders. I do not do fucking spiders. And this episode is spiders. So I might actually genuinely be hiding behind the sofa. Yes, I know, ladies and gents, I'm a pussy. But when it comes to spiders, I fucking hate them.
I would understand that if you lived in Australia where literally everything can kill you.
I live in Thailand. There's some big fucking spiders here, trust me.
I'm worried that it's going to have that same empty feel, and it's going to be real watered down and stretched out for this spider episode. And if it is, then you failed my four episode rule. There was the second one is probably the one I like the most out of all that they've done so far, but it feels hollow and shallow. And it's driving me up the wall. It's just the feeling you're getting from it, and that's the bit that's bugging me the most. It's putting me off, and I understand. I also think that the Sunday time slot doesn't help too, because I've got that thought in my head while I'm watching it. I've got to work tomorrow morning. I don't think that helps. I think maybe that's affecting me because I think maybe my mood is adding something onto it. Yeah.
Was it used to be a Saturday slot?
Traditionally, it was always in a Saturday slot. I have no idea why they moved it to a Sunday slot. It doesn't work for me, putting it on a Sunday. And besides, we record this podcast on a Sunday, and we record it earlier, partly because of where I live. But it's annoying because we want to talk about the most up-to-date Doctor Who episode, and we're having to wait 6 days to talk about it. God damn you, BBC. Don't you know how important our bloody podcast is? Stephen Moffat listens to this fucking podcast.
I'll say something. Hang on a second. Nigel, you were trying to say something.
I can't even remember what it was. What was it? Let's see. So it used to be a Saturday, right?
Yeah, it used to be on Saturday. Even as a kid, it used to be on a Saturday. And then Sylvester McCoy got moved to weekdays. I'd prefer weekdays, I'll be honest with you, over a Sunday.
Is there less competition on a Sunday for things to watch? Because usually there's fuck all on a Sunday. Saturday's like fairly busy with stuff to watch,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I would say there's less competition.
That might be why they moved it, you know, to try and get ratings up.
It's still getting high ratings now on the Sunday.
No, they've dropped off. They dropped off.
They have dropped off, but they haven't dropped off as much.
They've gone from 10 to 8 to 7.
And it's still more than what Peter...
It hasn't leveled out. It hasn't leveled out yet. It hasn't.
No, that's true.
Because remember, Capaldi started off in like 9, didn't he? And then he dropped off. So we're probably looking... It'll probably settle about the 5 million mark. That's what I'm looking at. If it settles any lower than the 5 million mark, then yeah, just put. I'm willing this episode not to feel hollow and shallow and desolate like the other ones. And maybe what I do is,
well,
I don't watch it on a Sunday and I watch it on a Monday when I get back from work.
I'm looking at the Doctor Who TV.co.uk website where they consolidate, you know, the amount of people who watched it. So you've got episode 1. It's 8.2 million.
Okay.
Consolidated is 10.54.
Okay, that's fine. That's what I heard.
Episode 2, overnight, 7.11 million. Consolidated, 8.67.
Okay.
Episode 3, 6.39.
Yeah.
Consolidate is to be confirmed, but it's audience appreciation index 83 for episode 1, 82 episode 2, 83 for episode 3. The audience appreciation index is staying roughly the same, however, less people are watching it. It is dropping off each week.
It does. TV series as a general.
There will be.
The only exception are the Netflix TV shows where people get to watch them one after the other. But
as we're talking about this sort of thing, I just want to point one thing out. There was a post from the Facebook Doctor Who account this week, right? Bearing in mind, there are only 3 episodes that have aired so far. Doctor Who, season whatever it is, 11, 10, is up 11. for the National TV Drama Award. Drama. We're talking, you know, it's one of the nominees for the Best Drama Award.
What, alongside EastEnders and Coronation Street.
How is this up for an award after 3 episodes? I think it may be worthy of an award once we've seen all 10 episodes. I don't know at this point, but you can't make a judgment on 3 episodes, especially, and there's no way is it going to win, especially when you've have something like The Bodyguard, which is the most watched drama since records began. And that's including before cable TV. I mean, the viewing ratings for that were ridiculous.
It wouldn't have been the moon landing for crying out loud.
No, it's the most watched drama on UK TV.
Yeah, I know.
Not
beating the moon landing. The moon landing.
You know, if that was in like the 1980s and early 90s, that was an achievement. But in this day and age, it's fucking phenomenal. Yeah. Because no one gets ratings of 17 million. I mean, you know, the only thing that gets that kind of ratings is the fucking Olympic opening ceremonies and things like that.
Mm.
I'm just trying to look that up so I can give you
figures. But yes, I just think it's ridiculous that it's up for a Best Drama Award after 3 episodes. If they were nominating like a single episode like Rosa, okay, I could understand that. I might not agree with it, but I could understand it. But they're nominating the entire season after 3 episodes.
Okay. Let's hear the up and up from Nige the Internet Investigator.
Yeah,
get Nigel on it.
Fucking hell! What it said it was going to show me ratings, and it's bloody well not. So
you suck.
Yeah, bollocks, mate. Let me just check another website because it's.
I'm gonna fall asleep now. Don't mind me, okay?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, this sort of thing happens.
So. Oh, for fuck's sake, Keith.
You know what they're like? They say, "Oh, I'm going to show you this," and then they go, "Oh, waffle." Nothing about what you fucking said.
Look, right, I'm going to give you an example of something, yeah? Mark Cerny, who developed the PS4, who you find slightly creepy, who is
fucking creepy.
Who was a boy genius, now is a man genius, yeah? And I mean a genuine genius, okay? His game, Knack 2, is up for a BAFTA. I know that game is not worth the BAFTA. I know Red Dead Redemption 2 is worth a BAFTA. I know that Spider-Man's worth a BAFTA. And I know that God of War's worth a BAFTA.
So I don't
have much faith in these things, and this is why they lose viewing figures.
You've just mentioned Red Redemption. Do you know how big that fucking game install is?
It's two discs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something like 50 or 60 gig on your PlayStation. It's something ridiculous, right? But the details in it, there is a detail in it, right? Get this. When it's cold, the horse's dick shrinks in the game.
Yeah.
Somebody actually fucking coded that. Well, it's absolutely true.
Do you know
somebody's
what?
Got a job.
I installed Gears of War 4 on my Xbox One. And its install size was 100 gigabytes.
Wow.
And it took over 6 hours to install.
What?
Jeez.
I was more pissed at the time because I'm so used to my PlayStation. PlayStation will load you up just enough to get you into the first couple of levels so you can play it and then go on with it. Sometimes it sits there and goes, are you doing multiplayer first or are you doing single player first? And it goes single player. Yeah. Okay, we will install the single player file. And I don't know. Microsoft could rip that off to the fucking heart's content. I'm not bothered, but 100 gigabytes. And the weird thing was, it was doing a weird mix where it was installing from the CD, then downloading a bit. Installing from the CD and then downloading a bit. I'm assuming the patch was a 4K patch, hence the 100 gigabyte file. Because there's not enough game in there. I've played Gears of War from 1 up until 4. And it's, yeah. So anyway,
Spider-Man
when it comes to 3
was 50. Spider-Man PS4 was 53 gig.
Have you got
which,
that?
By the way, I downloaded that in 35 minutes on my stupidly fast fiber. Oh, yeah.
Just to bring us back in the room, Bodyguard. I have, thanks to Wikipedia and not any shithole journalists, episode 1, UK viewers, this is UK only viewers. Now, I believe this is probably a mix of, it doesn't state, but it's probably a mix of both watching it live and on BBC iPlayer. So, episode 1, 14.42 million viewers. Episode 2, 14.33. Episode 3, 14.63. Episode 4, 14.89. It's going up and up and up. Episode 5, 15.56. And episode 6, the last episode, 15.93 million.
Well,
that's
I've read
very consistent all the way through.
17.1.
Keith, when it comes to these figures, mate,
It was on the BBC News website.
Do a double check, please.
It was on the BBC News website.
Doesn't matter. 17.1.
Mate, I tried looking for it somewhere else, but it's... you know the amount of bollocks that people write nowadays.
Anyway,
you can never tell if it's right or not.
Nige, talking of bollocks, Walking Dead.
Yeah.
What the fuck's happening with Walking Dead?
The Walking Bollocks.
So, are you... It's Rick Grimes' last season, and it's fucking terrible. I'm not joking.
Do you think
one of those random story generators to make something more interesting?
Do you think he's read the script for the season before they started filming, and then he's read it and he's gone, what a load of shit. Gone to producers and said, I'm sorry, this is going to be my last season. And then they've gone, we'll have to rewrite something somewhere to, you know, write you out of the story sort of thing. Do you see where I'm coming with that?
It's like you've
it
got your...
It may
your,
well be that.
Your titular character, the one that it is like centred around completely, and he's leaving. You'd think that you'd do something epic and spend the first part of the season building it up. It's so fucking dull. It really is.
I can't
watch him paint dry.
It's It's boring. It really is boring. I can't even remember what happened. It's so boring.
Yeah. It's you've got the people at Oceanside, and they're killing off the saviors because they're the ones who murdered half of the population. So they're seeking revenge.
Yeah, okay, good. I recognise that. Which you find out near the end.
And then there's a
bridge. And Daryl and Maggie agree with it because they catch them in the act and they explain what's going on. And they're like, yeah, understand. They fucked us over too. And they walked off and let them do it. I understand that. But you know for a fact if it was Rick who caught them doing it, he wouldn't have let him go through with it, you know?
Yeah.
But Rick has suffered most alongside Maggie. Hasn't he? He alongside Maggie, has suffered most. And Daryl suffered quite a lot as well. Because they took Daryl and held him captive and stuff. But even though they've all suffered, they've probably suffered about the same equal amounts, but in varying ways, haven't they?
Yeah, everyone. There's not no one's escaped suffering, apart from Carol, yeah. Who's inflicted the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just an innocent old lady with a 12 gauge shotgun, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's very much a case of I understand that, and I think that's in keeping with their characters, which is good. I like that. And I don't know, the story, man.
I think I know what's going to happen. I've got a prediction, right? It's going to go like this. They've built that bridge, yeah? And Rick is going to be like standing on the bridge, yeah? And then he's just going to fall into the river and get washed down.
And hit his head on a rock, and that's it, Rick gone.
That's it.
The rumour is he's not going to die.
Exactly. No, he doesn't die that way. He doesn't seem to die just because washed out to sea and then winds up somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, so what were they doing? They're just building a bridge.
But it's got a new showrunner this season as well, hasn't it?
Yes, that's why they've got new titles. I feel sorry for the showrunner because if I were taking it over and finding out Rick was leaving, one, I would push him for a whole season. I'd like a whole season out of you. I'd just say, just come on, just give me that full season and we'll do it that way.
I think he's out next episode, isn't it?
No, episode after.
Okay.
Who is?
Close, Rick.
So, episode 5.
It's the episode that he falls into the river.
Or the episode where he's changing a tire and overrun by two walkers and dies.
No, you can't have that one. That's my one.
Yes, I nicked it from you.
Because you were saying about the horse thing, are we trying to die saving some horses? And I went, no, what will happen? To make it super dramatic, we'll have to change the tyre on a car. So there'll be a herd of zombies, like just down the road, ever so slightly out of sight. And he'll pull the tyre out, he'll take it off, yeah? He'll be doing it up, and he just gets to putting that last nut on. He's about to put the last nut on, yeah? And he gets bitten, and that's it, game over.
Whereas mine was, I felt that Rick's going to, you know, do something completely out of character and choose to do something that he normally wouldn't do in order to get himself killed because, you know, lazy writing and shit.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen is in order to keep The Walking Dead going, what they'll do is basically reboot it. But what they'll do is a friendly or a sympathizer of Negan will unlock his cage and let him out, and then he'll start ruling the roost then. But then what they'll do is they'll show a flashback, and the flashback is 9 seasons long from where Negan finds out there's a zombie apocalypse and he has to reinvent himself, and him and his bat Lucille start building this empire. And it will be 9 seasons long. And all they'll do is, because they're lazy, they'll take the previous nine seasons, or set 8 seasons, or whatever amount of seasons before Negan, 7 seasons before Negan turned up. They'll do a find and replace on Rick's name with Negan's name and publish.
I'm half expecting
them to do a Negan. I wouldn't mind seeing it from Negan's point of view, from where the zombie outbreak happened and what made him change from being, I think he was a teacher, wasn't he, or something, or a PE teacher or something, no, or in an office or whatever. I don't know.
Be your friendly neighbourhood postman.
Yeah,
be wearing silly shorts, light blue t-shirt with his little trolley, whistling as they do.
Can I help you, Mum? Sort of thing, you know. Living. I wouldn't mind seeing an origin story of Negan the Destroyer and see how he goes from being a nice guy in the corporate world or supermarket checkout guy into what he becomes, what we see him as. I don't mind seeing that, but I don't want to see quite a few episodes. I can see them sort of, because that's the only reason. Why else would you keep Negan alive? Which is not in the comics.
No, they keep him alive in the comics, but they keep him alive, and Carl goes down there and talks to him loads. And he does escape in the comics too.
Does he? Right. Well, maybe they're following that.
Well, they are with Rick instead. They killed off Carl.
With Rick instead. I don't know. I haven't read the comics.
I'll be honest with you. As soon as Rick goes, I think I'm off too.
Walking Dead fans have been bitching and moaning about it for the last few seasons and really not enjoying it. So why is anybody still watching it? It's still getting the ratings though, isn't it?
Well, no, because we just wanted to see the end of Negan. We were hoping that this is what I wanted for the end. And I think I've told Nigel about three times, like a repetitive idiot. Yeah, is it got to the end. Now in the comic book, he slashes his throat and then tells a medic to go save his life, yeah? I wanted it to be, he slashes his throat, the medic runs over to save his life, yeah, because he thinks that's what Rick wants, and Rick turns around and goes, no, it was always going to end this way for him. And that's it. And then you just watched him bleed to death, and that was the end of the episode. I was hoping that that was a diversion they were going to take, because they killed Carl off. I still don't know why they killed Carl off. I think Carl leaving has also got something to do with the fact that Rick's leaving too. Or Andrew Lincoln.
Maybe. Could be.
Because it's like, it's part of the character's, like, anchor in the world. It's part of the character's identity. Yeah? How many Carl jokes are there on the internet?
Yeah. Cool.
Millions. Anyway.
I was having a quick nose at last season's, watch figures. It started off quite well. 11.4 million. Nice.
That's in the States too, where there's 300 people who can view it.
Yeah. Do you know, it was... That's when they're rallying the communities together to take on Negan and stuff, and you've thought something might happen and all that sort of stuff. And then it slowly... when you realise after, what, four episodes, it looks like, in November, it's not, because you've got endless waves of saviours, endless waves of saviours, and that's where the numbers start dropping off. So it drops below the 8 million mark, and then it keeps going to 6 million. It's under the 7 million mark, and it keeps going. And you, at one point, it almost touches 6 million dead in last season. That's what I think everyone wanted to watch, the last episode. So it almost jumped up to 8 million, where they were thinking, oh, Negan's going to fucking get it. And he doesn't get it. So where people were getting a bit pissed off and they stopped watching, and then they went, oh, I'll watch the last episode and see if he actually gets his comeuppance. And then he doesn't. And that's why this season has started off with not many people watching it. Six million dead, down to just under 5 million, and then just slightly over 5 million for last season, last episode.
No, it's going to get cancelled.
Yeah, it's going to get cancelled.
It's dropped
season.
Considerably.
It won't be this season. It'll be the season after.
Yeah,
because it's made so much money for AMC they will see if they can squeak out something to push the ratings up.
Yeah, I think they made massive mistake by keeping Negan alive for so long, keeping Negan's troops at such a high level for so long, despite so many dying. If they'd have shown it where Rick's team is killing them off, you know, killing off bands here and there, and their troops are depleting, and it's making harder and harder for Negan, and it's more desperate and desperate for Negan, coming up with more weird and wonderful ways.
And he gets cornered, and he becomes more dangerous because he's more cornered than he does.
Yeah, like a wild animal.
Yes.
More dangerous when they're cornered, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been more interesting than him just going, and 100 more come up. Do you know what I mean? I think that would have made much better TV. And then the last episode, Negan should have had his comeuppance and Rick should have just fucking slit his throat, killed him.
Yeah.
Left him to die. You know? And then that would have been a decent, satisfying ending to last season. And this season might have been able to start off with a bang. What they've done is they're showing people from the Saviors clinging on to hope that because they know Negan's not dead, and they're writing their little notes and they're staying all together and they're saying it's us versus you because Negan's alive. And they know if Negan gets out, boom, they're in business again.
Yeah.
And they can take over because they've got the numbers, they've got the strength. Yeah, anyway, that's me whinging.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated because I like The Walking Dead. I do, and I genuinely hope that it gets better, but it's lazy at the moment. It's lazy and it's frustrating.
Okay, we're going to move on to something now. Daredevil. I'm going to do this review backwards.
Keith, do it.
What do you give Daredevil out of 10?
Don't know at the moment. I still can't make my mind up about it. Because the last few episodes were really good, but the start of it was a bit meh.
I'm going to push you.
It got better.
Go on.
But compared to season 2, 6.
6.
As an overall.
As overall. Mm. See, the reason I said this, yeah, is because you'll never hear me say this often. It gets a 10.
No.
It's the best bit of TV I have watched all year. And I know this because I was cheekily watching it at work. And you know what I did the moment I finished watching it? I rewatched it to see what I missed. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. I would describe it as this is the TV equivalent of The Dark Knight. That's how good I think it is.
I don't think it's as good as season 2.
It was boring. It's much better. I think everything paid off. It was balanced out right. All motivations were clearly seen. All characters were well developed. The Bullseye character. There was references to the TV show Dexter a lot for him. But he came across as very unstable, but you understood why he was unstable. He came across as absolutely fucking lethal and someone who was a genuine physical threat to Daredevil who could take him, which made him a great bad guy. Fisk's lying and manipulation. There's a bit where you've got all those FBI agents in the room where he walks in to find out he has corrupted fucking everyone around him. Yeah, was madness. The fight in the church between we had Daredevil, Karen, and Bullseye, my fucking heart was in my mouth for that. Because everybody who knows anything about the comics knows that Bullseye is famous for murdering Karen Page in a church. So when I watched that episode, I'm like going, oh shit, oh shit. And then my brain's going, if he kills Karen Page, Daredevil's going to kill him and he's going to kill Fisk. And I like Bullseye and I like Fisk. You've got the Ray character, who is incredibly sympathetic, apart from his wife, really bitchy towards him.
Yeah.
She's really bitchy towards him. But at the end, she redeems herself. So she has a bit of a redemptive arc, yeah? You've got his boss, the bit where Ray sits down with his boss to take the deposition. with the internal guy, and she shoots him. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened there? Yeah. Then there was a fight with him and the FBI in the car park, which I really enjoyed. The music wasn't like the ones in the previous series, but it worked better. It helped build a lot more tension in it. And it just, the fights weren't just thrown in there because we need a fight between Daredevil and someone. Yeah. Daredevil was going to kill Fisk. You got to hear his internal monologue, which was great because in comics, it's easy to do an internal monologue. You just do one of those little bubble things, yeah? And you write his internal monologue. But instead of doing that, they had him talking to his approximation of Wilson Fisk. And he's like, kind of, what are you going to do when you get in there? How are you going to murder me? Surrounded by FBI agents. Are you sure this is the right thing to do? Oh, that's not supposed to be there. And he's like taunting him. Yeah? And it was kind of really interesting to kind of see that. And then you had him when he had his inner monologue with his dad. Yeah. And there was a bit where he was fighting Daredevil in, fighting Bullseye in the newspaper office. What was the newspaper called? Tribune or something? I can't remember what it's called. But he was having a fight inside the office with him. Yeah. And I was watching it. And the guys with the fight coordinators have got it down to such a T that an observation that I made it into the story, which was great because it was like, he can't fight Bullseye at a distance. The moment he closes the distance, everything equalizes. Yeah? So he's sitting there and he's in the boxing ring and he's putting on his like Muay Thai gloves and whatnot. And he's talking to his dad. Well, his approximation of his dad, so we can have his in a monologue. And he's going, I'm putting the Muay Thai gloves on. I can't. I have to get in close. Yeah? If I go any distance, this guy will beat me. Yeah? And having bits like that in there kind of added up. And then he had all three characters. You had Foggy, who started off the whole series as an utter mess, having nightmares about dead Matt or bloody Matt or zombie Matt or whatever, yeah, and he was a complete mess. And then when shit happened and Fisk got out, he pulled himself together and went, right, I'm going to fight Fisk. And he did it his way, as trying to be the DA. And then he had Karen, and then she wasn't useless. She's like, I'm a reporter, I'm going to fucking do this. And then they acknowledged the fact at the end of the second series that Matt was a dick to all of them. Yeah. And at the end of the series, they made up and they all got together again and said, right, we're going to form a new company, all of us together again. And they're going to call it Nelson, Murdoch and Page. And it was really nice. And it was really warming. I really enjoyed that. It had a really happy conclusion.
I will give you one concession. The ending was good. The ending was good. The final episode was good. I thought it was quite clever how they had Fisk even corrupt his girlfriend Vanessa.
No, or wife. She was attracted to that in him in the first place. That's what she liked. She liked the danger. She liked the bad boy. That's what she liked about him, was that he was. Girls do like a bad boy. Yeah.
I found it slow to start. I think it got better towards the end, but you obviously enjoyed it far more than I did. But then you hated Iron Fist, and I didn't mind it nearly as much as as that. But
if you were in this country, me and you could sit down and watch it. And I would point to, I could point to all those bits that I thought were bad, and you could point to all the bits that I thought were good. But it was like, this is what I said. I said to you on message, Iron Fist should have gone down the supernatural route.
Yeah, no, I agree that. I agree with you. I don't think Iron Fist was the best thing in the world. I mean, for a series about ripping the heart out of a dragon, you never see a fucking dragon. I agree with you there. I totally agree with you there. I do agree with you on that. Just felt Daredevil Season 2, for me, overall, was more exciting. But that's for me. I liked all the ninjas and the Elektra thing. And where the fuck was Elektra? What happened to Elektra? Did she die?
He doesn't know. He said he didn't know.
I would like to say one thing. I fucking called it, by the way. The nun was his mum. Bing!
See, I was in the impression at the beginning that the nun was part of his imagination. and it was his, it was like Wilson Fisk was like him talking to the devil and she was like him talking to the angel on his shoulder, that sort of thing.
I would concede it's the best Marvel series of this year, by a long way.
What about the Kingpin? How good was the Kingpin?
The Kingpin was good, but it didn't focus on him as much as it did in the first series. So you didn't,
dude. Hang on a second. He was the Kingpin. He was Kingpin. And I put this that he is the best Marvel supervillain.
He's better than Thanos.
Loki. If you put him, if he can get anywhere, he needs to go into the. He needs to go against Spider-Man. He needs to go international.
I want him to turn up in Spider-Man. I wanted him to turn up in Spider-Man, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't know what the hell Disney is doing. I think it makes it interesting because now what are Netflix going to do? Because if Disney are trying to get everything for their streaming service, you know, are they trying to gain these back? Because it was really Netflix that started it. And I mean, I'm a bit pissed off we lost Luke Cage, because if I had to choose a couple of them, I'd choose Luke Cage and Daredevil any day. I hate Jessica Jones. The only good thing about Jessica Jones season one was David Tennant's bad guy.
That bad guy was, he was great as a bad guy. He was,
I genuinely didn't know how you could fight David Tennant as that guy. There was that sense of, well, fuck, look what he's got. How can you fight this? He's walked there into was a police bit of that, station and controlled everyone.
I'll give Gareth his dues. There was a bit of that in Daredevil season three, though, with Fisk as well, Nigel. I mean, the bit where the guy walks into the FBI room and realizes that every single person has been corrupted by Fisk. That was a really powerful moment. You were like, whoa. And that was almost the same as when you saw Tennant's bad guy, for different reasons, but the same effect, if you like.
Can I refer you to the Arrow, when the Arrow tried to do that with in last season, was it?
Yes, it did. And it was
Damien Dark. You're thinking of
forgotten his name? Not Damien.
No, it wasn't Damien Dark. It was the last bad guy.
Last one.
Tattoo.
I
know who you mean. I just can't remember his name.
Yeah, he was corrupting officials and buying them off, and then turning the entire city against the Arrow, and then outs. Oh my God,
Oliver Queen
as the Arrow, and arrests him and stuff like that. Yeah, what was his name?
Prometheus.
No, it's the last. It's the last bad guy.
Last season's bad guy.
On another note, while Nigel's trying to remember, this season of Daredevil was brought to you by the people who did the first season of The Arrow.
It works. Don't get me wrong. It does work. I hope we get a season four. I hope we get a season four on Netflix. I still think that Bullseye will kill Karen Page. I think they're just building to it next season. I still want a Heroes for Hire series. I don't know if it's going to happen. I wish they would follow up these cryptic tweets that they posted, but time will tell. If it's going over to the Disney Channel, I don't know. I'm very in two minds about that Disney streaming service. I think, you know, why the fuck don't you just put it on Netflix? So I don't want to be paying multiple things, and I still don't know if it's going to. We were having a chat about this over WhatsApp this week. At the moment, there's no plans to launch Disney in the UK, and I think they have to go. There's some quite complicated European rules. That's why CBS didn't get released, and why Hulu can't, because Hulu want to operate in the UK. Want to operate in the UK and can't for some weird reason. And I know that there was some kind of survey done where European people don't actually want to pay for hundreds of different services, their streaming services, whereas the States are more open to that than we are.
Yeah, I understand that. So I'm getting tempted to get rid of everything but internet.
I agree with you, and I think that's where everything's going, whether the network's like this or not. And I'm glad that it is. I'm glad that Netflix has been such a disruption, and then followed closely by Amazon. And you do need some competition, but it's going to be interesting if Disney are trying to take these characters back, because how the hell they are going to show that worldwide, they're limited. In fact, the only people that can technically show it worldwide are Amazon to a certain extent, or Netflix, who's in every fucking territory now. I mean, how do you get Netflix?
Keith, you forget this is Disney. If they want to do it, they're going to do it. They're the one company, broadcaster-wise, that I wouldn't put anything past. They own fucking, like, all of your childhood, Keith.
It's whether people are willing to pay for it, and I'm not sure they are. Because I'm not sure I would.
Keith, you have to see what it is and what it's like. Yeah?
Because, I mean, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens.
You have to wait. It's one of those things we have to wait, because Disney could crush it, and I mean absolutely crush it like a juggernaut. Or just,
but they're going to need
like
more
a quid,
than the
quid a month
than the Mandalorian or whatever it is with the Star Wars series. They're going to need more than that. Backdated movies isn't a draw.
No, Keith, you don't know how much Disney own.
I know how much Disney own, but they've also got rights deals with a lot of people. Some of those things they can take away with, and they've been slowly taking all the Marvel movies away from Netflix, but they've got other deals that they've inked that are longer than that. So and certain networks that they own, they've inked deals with Hulu, because don't they air some of their shows in the States. There are deals inked. It's not just a simple matter of thing. I know there's quite a lot of complicated stuff around Disney launching the streaming service in the States, let alone doing it worldwide. I'll be surprised if they do. I know that they're going to end up owning Fox, which means they're going to own all of Fox's stuff. But again, Fox has already signed long-term deals with Netflix on some of their stuff. So worldwide. Well, why? Netflix is usually the go-to partner to wear these kind of things these days. You just like, I mean, they paid for the entire fucking first season of Star Trek Discovery, pretty much. Talking of Star Trek, have you heard that the writers of Rick and Morty are writing a Star Trek cartoon about the support staff on the most underused starship in Starfleet, and it's in canon?
Really?
Yep. Now this week. It's called a Star Trek Below Decks.
B5 did that.
And it's been written by the Rick and Morty writers, though. That's the difference. And we like Rick and Morty.
Yeah, but I don't like the writers. What they produce is good. Their behaviour is a bit...
Yeah.
Can't do maths, shall we say, politely. Yes. Didn't B5 do an episode?
Yeah, but this is an entire cartoon series.
Is it a cartoon series?
Yeah, it's been launched and it's going on CBS All Access in the States, so it'll undoubtedly be on Netflix in the UK.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but Keith's been banging on about stuff, so I haven't been able to actually say the name of the guy who I was on about. It was Diaz.
Diaz, that's it, yes.
Diaz, whatever.
He's
the guy from
Fringe. His name, yeah.
He's still a bad guy at the moment in the ongoing news series. Although I've only seen two episodes.
I've not even bothered. It was one of those similar things that was going on, you know, with Negan and Walking Dead. The guy can never be beaten.
This is the problem when you've got 23 or 4 episodes of a fucking season. The Flash usually handles their...
Flash usually handles
their bad guys better. Season 5 or whatever we are on The Flash, Sicada, the new bad guy there, he looks quite ominous. It's like, how the hell are you going to beat him?
I'm
enjoying The Flash since it's come back. Yeah. Arrow, I'm a bit meh about because Oliver's in jail and meh. and I keep killing off characters that I like.
I might watch it because I've got them recorded. At least one episode, maybe two episodes of both The Flash and Arrow. I haven't bothered with Supergirl because...
Don't. It's really shit.
When it came back, you know it had the mid-season break?
Yeah.
Last year. It got to like December or so, a mid-season break. I didn't know it came back. And, you know, it comes back in like March or so. And it goes along and it gets up to 23 episodes and stuff. So I've missed all of that. And when I looked, I went, oh, I didn't realise I missed all of that. I didn't even know. My planner had completely, you know, ignored it. And so I tried to download an episode, the next episode that I haven't seen, and the planner went, you actually need a different deal to watch a box set. I'm like, what? Is it now deemed a box set? Because it was only half a year ago. So I save spending extra cash to watch something that the planner didn't record. I can't be fucked with it. So season 4's now out. I've no idea what's gone on, but I've downloaded episode 1 of season 4, Supergirl, and I'm going to give it a try, because typically fuck all usually happens because it's so spaced out. I probably won't have missed anything. Yeah, anyway, I'm whinging again. Just wanted to say it was Dyers that I was on about. If you compare that to how... you compare Arrow, how that used Diaz in the whole corruption thing. I don't know how it was used in Daredevil, but it sounds like it was done in a better way. And then you compare that to David Tennant's character in Jessica Jones, how he actually controlled them and then they had no idea what they were doing. It's a bit... In Jessica Jones, it's a little bit more eerie or frightening, or feels a little bit more like a brick wall that you can't get past, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It might feel like that with the Wilson Fisk thing. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Do you feel it's a little bit more unbeatable, or a little bit more of a
him difficult... Him plus Bullseye feel completely unbeatable.
And it should be... It should be in a way that it feels unbeatable because you can't think of a way that you can get round it, rather than, why didn't you just do fucking that? Do you know what I mean?
He gets to the point where he starts, because he's kind of going head into it, yeah? And he stops and he says, if I was Wilson Fisk, how would I control this situation? and he does it, and it's a big old fucking smile on my face. Fuck it, I loved it. It's that and The Expanse this year, TV wise. Ah, magnifique.
I haven't seen the latest season.
But what you were saying earlier, don't watch Supergirl. It's gone all political.
I watched season 4, I think, just to see.
It's pants.
All right.
On the outside of it.
On the outside, yeah.
Oh, Keith doesn't get it.
The crossover looks really good. If you're going to watch Supergirl, watch the episode before the crossover so you've got a feeling for what's going on. That's what I recommend.
Is there already a crossover?
They've already started filming the crossover. I think it's Arrow 7, Arrow episode 7 kicks off at, or is it Flash episode 7 kicks off?
Which is soonish. They've done a few, haven't they? Two so far? Three?
Yes, two in the UK. I think three or four in the States. It'll be four tonight in the States, actually, because it flashes on a Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
It's competing with Doctor Who. It's not competing with Doctor Who. I'm just making it sound a bit more interesting than it is.
Dear. Well, I'll try and catch up. I say try. It may or may not happen. Who knows?
Okay. Anything else to say?
No, I think we've covered a fucking ton, haven't we? And moaned a lot.
Well, we've moaned a lot. Keith, did you hear what Stephen Moffat said about the current series of Doctor Who?
No.
He says it looks cheap.
he might be right.
He says for the money you're paying out for it, it looks cheap.
They can't afford extras. That's what they can't do.
Yeah. They chafe their money on fucking extras.
Even the ones who would do it for free...
And the other thing is in this episode, are they actually going to use Yaz, or are they going to give her some donkey work to do? Yeah, guys, check donkey all the forks. I want you to check all the forks in the building to make sure that the spiders haven't stolen them. Go. I feel so sorry for her.
She's going to be the one who's the not scared of spiders, and the rest of them are.
But still gets to check all the forks in the building to make sure no one's stolen any.
Yeah, but she still won't be given a job where it's imperative that they need somebody who's not scared of spiders. It'll be somebody who is scared of spiders, just to add a bit of drama.
And on that note, on our arachnophobic note, which sounds a bit racist now, you're a fucking arachnophobe, mate, you. How dare you? Oh, God. That's going to be a thing in Doctor Who tonight. An arachnophobe. Okay?
Are you an arachnophobe? Yeah. Shh, don't say out loud.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing.
They'll judge me.
That will be a thing in Doctor Who. I'll put 50p on it. Because I'm not 100% sure, considering where Doctor Who's going at the moment. So, Keith, anything left?
Nope.
You drained your balls?
I need to go to sleep. It's really late here. It's okay. Like midnight. Good night.
And we're on that note. It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
And you'll hear from us in the next podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.